kid. And since my parents aren't garbage, they warned me not to listen to this podcast. Because it's full of nasty stuff and cuss words and stuff that only grown-ups would think is funny. So, if you're a kid, like me, go read a book or something. Gosh. And if you're a grown-up, as soon as you hear a voice that isn't mine, you better have your headphones on. Got your headphones on? Sure? Okay, I'm out of here.
James Stephen Steve Fawcett was a billionaire businessman, sailor, aviator, and adventurer. Fawcett was famous for a wide range of world records, such as being the first person to fly solo, nonstop around the world, in a balloon, as well as more than 100 other records, many involving circumnavigations of the Earth. In addition to aviation and sailing, Fawcett was also a fellow of the Royal Geographical Society and a member of the Explorers Club. He was an extremely talented pilot with several models of aircraft, on which he had clocked countless hours of flight time, and was well-respected in the world of aviation. There was certainly no disputing his impressive experience at the controls of an airplane. On September 3, 2007, Fawcett departed from the Flying M Ranch in Nevada in a single-engine, super-decathlon light aircraft for what was to be a quick, round-trip joyride, with a planned return to the same airport from which he had departed just shortly after. It was a clear, late-summer day with favorable conditions. Fawcett's aircraft never returned to the Flying M Ranch. I'm Kenny King, and this is Strangeful Things.
If I had hit a little more, just a little more, we would have had a little less trouble.
Can't you see her? She's right in front of you.
So rather than investigate it, he was a true American and just shot it three times. And
oh my gosh!
Do you find those witnesses credible?
She walked down the hill and never came back. Her body has never been found.
I'm 100% Scully.
Oh, Mom, the boy in my closet. He's my friend.
Strangeful Things.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Strangeful Things. I am Kenny King, and this is an awesome show. We are
thanks for the
already.
Laugh.
It's already
yes,
awesome.
Already.
He knows what's in it.
That's true.
Shut up.
This is an awesome show. And,
it's an awesome show, anyway.
We are joined by our classic complement of fell companions on the show tonight. We have Acadia, Jen, and Christy. Acadia, how's it going?
Oh, you know what, I had to drop by and do this show since I'm so famous and fancy now with my other media conglomerates.
Yeah, we're very glad you've got time for us anymore.
Yeah, that lawsuit against Guy Fieri dried up, so I got more time.
So okay. You're working on the slip and fall in the Walmart bathroom?
He's embarrassed to admit it.
Well, no. The fact is that I should have diversified more because originally I just slipped and fell on Guy Fieri. So,
oh, you messed up.
But his hair went right in me.
Oh, God.
No.
Good blood.
You mean in the butt bop?
Yes, that would be in the butt bob. But in for reals, you may listen to the. I've been cheating on the Grackles and everybody because I've been doing a podcast about the Hulu show Castle Rock, where we don't have to write anything ahead of time because somebody else writes it. So hey, that's a fucking refreshing change.
Yeah.
So Castle Rock Historical Society. Later on, we might do that too, but we'll just instead of popular shows that you want to analyze and stuff, we'll probably just do reruns of Seinfeld and break them down.
Even easier.
Yeah, that's easy.
Bewitched.
Yeah.
Dink-a-dink-a-dink.
Oh, God. All right. I'm Jen. I can't think of anything that fascinating to say, but I'm just glad I'm here with these idiots.
You can tell us how sweaty it is under your boobs.
It's pretty sweaty, actually, and yeah. It's like 66 degrees in my house. It is the surface of the sun in Boston right now, and I'm
so weird.
I'm so over summer. I'm so over it. I'm done.
I just don't leave the house. Honestly.
I used to know a girl named Summer, and I don't think I'll ever get over her. But
isn't that precious?
Okay. It is. And Christy, you—it's been a couple of shows since you've been around. How
yeah,
you been?
I've had like this little hiatus, but I'm back, and I'm actually excited about this episode. And I'm gonna have a really fun script for us coming up in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Super duper. So before we get back to the fate of our friend Steve Fawcett, we are spending all of this episode, as I mentioned before, this is an awesome show already, I'm sure everyone agrees, but we're going to spend all of this episode discussing the mysteries of the Nevada Triangle.
Wait. The Nevada Triangle? Really? Don't you mean Bermuda?
No, actually, I mean what I said, the Nevada Triangle. Actually, Christy, that's
what
I thought, too.
Oh, shit, yes. Cut.
Rewind. Start over.
The Filene's Triangle.
Aw, poor Filene's.
But when I first heard about that, I'm like, hey, don't you mean the Bermuda Triangle? And actually, true story, I was flying down to the Bahamas a couple of weeks ago from Orlando. And the guy sitting next to me was a retired naval officer, at least that's what he said. And he and I, we talked a little bit. I'm not a big fan of talking on planes to people that I don't know because I don't like being that guy. I don't usually like it when people talk to me, but we talked a little bit. He was an interesting dude. And it's a pretty short flight. And there, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of time to get into too many details about anything, but we were about 10 minutes from landing when they make the announcement, you know, stow all of your portable electronic devices, put your tray tables up, adjust your seat backs. He looks out the window and he said, you know, it's been a long time since I've flown through the Bermuda Triangle. And I thought about it for a second and I realized, yeah, we're on the edge of the Bermuda Triangle. Hmm. And actually, I myself have been through here or there a lot of times on ships. So I looked at him and, you know, what else do you say? I was just stupidly said, hope nothing happens. with a smile. And then he looked at me and he said very seriously, the Bermuda Triangle is nothing compared to the Nevada Triangle. And
what?
At that point, yeah, I had never heard of it before. At that point, we were on the ground. The plane had touched down. We were taxiing. He had his phone out. He was talking to what I presume whatever shady government group it was that was picking him up. So,
of course,
I didn't say anything else except kind of a friendly wave and nod as we both got off the plane.
But
I made a mental note regarding the Nevada Triangle so I can look it up later.
Nevada Triangle sounds like a buffet where all they sell is pie and vaginas.
Oh my God.
As a matter of fact, I'm opening a buffet in Las Vegas that only sells pie and vaginas, and it's going to be called the Nevada Triangle.
Well, that's
Are the vaginas
great.
Attached to anything, hopefully?
Well, they, all right, they're also pie, but they're shaped like vaginas, and they have panties.
Oh, come on.
Of course.
Come on.
By the way, side note, we did an episode on the Bermuda Triangle if people want to go back through the archives.
We did.
Yep. Not nearly as delicious, though.
Okay. Let's move along.
Too bad
but seriously,
about the P word.
Triangles. Are... yeah, Kenny don't like that word.
It's my least favorite word.
Yep. Panties?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was my least favorite word before, I think, whatever show had some character whose least favorite word was that word.
Well, it's weird because it's that word and moist.
Everybody hates those words.
You either Yeah, yeah. You have like a weird aversion.
But you put them together.
One of those words.
Okay.
And
okay.
You either got a sexy time or an unfortunate car trip.
Intend to set that up, folks. I apologize.
She innocently wandered into that.
I totally did.
Come on down to the Nevada Triangle for
some moist panties.
I wandered in that door and turned right around and wandered right back out.
Hey, ladies, what's hot in the triangle tonight?
Too late.
Oh, no.
So it could also be, I guess, a spot to sell your gold.
Yeah, that's true, too. I could go with that.
Quote, sell your gold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right. Mm.
But, Acadia, that's what I thought, too, actually. And more, because, the Nevada Triangle, like Christy said, don't you mean the Bermuda Triangle? But let's bring in...
Who's ever heard of the Nevada Triangle?
I hadn't, and I'm not sure anybody else will have heard about it, maybe. But let's bring in Explainer Jen. As usual, she's done our research for us, and specifically on the Nevada Triangle.
Of course. I know all about triangles. Here we go. Mm.
Tell us more.
The Nevada Triangle is typically defined as spanning from Las Vegas in the southeast part of the triangle to Fresno, California in the west, and Reno at the top.
Can I interrupt for a second? May I?
Yes. Yes.
If you look at this, and I'm not, I tried to make this as word painty as possible, so we wouldn't have to rely on pictures.
Yes.
But if you do have an opportunity to look up the Nevada Triangle,
yep.
It's almost an exactly perfect triangle.
Like an equilateral triangle?
Almost, yeah. It's pretty darn close.
Wow.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It is said that this virtual moonscape of sparsely populated rugged wilderness has been the site of, by some estimates, around 2,000 aircraft crashes over the past 60 or so years. That's nuts. With many of these happening under mysterious circumstances, with experienced pilots, without any clear reason, and with wreckage never found. In some cases, these have been rather large, rugged military aircraft, such as B-24 Liberators or B-17 Flying Fortresses. The triangle is spread out over a wide expanse of 25,000 square miles of desert, mountains, and scrub near the Sierra Nevada Mountains and Great Basin Desert in the U.S. state of Nevada, looking as if it is the surface of another planet, and it is an area that has over the years earned itself a rather sinister reputation. The Nevada Triangle just happens to be in the vicinity of the notorious top secret Area 51 and the range of strange UFO sightings that come with that.
Uh-huh.
What? You're telling me that the Triangle goes around Area 51? Or, yeah, it has to be because there's no Area 51 in Fresno. So then it's Area 51 and maybe parts of, I presume, Areas 50 and 52? Because they never get a lot of, a press, but they're also important. But Area 51 being the military base that actually exists, there's an airport, a private airport in Las Vegas where workers get on a little private plane and they fly to Area 51 and they do military work for the most part. And it's super, super secret, mainly because it's the spot where they test a bunch of shit that we don't want Russia knowing that we have, like it's all fucked now, but
except
in theory,
now I assume that Russia knows more than anyone.
It's actually now run by Russians, but before it was like we didn't want any Russians there, like hardly at all. And it was the one of the things that was tested there was the SR-71 Blackbird, which is still the fastest plane that's ever existed. And the coolest thing about that to me is, A, that people thought it was a UFO because no one thought anything could go that fast.
Right.
And the other thing was the way they had to construct it, when it's sitting on the ground, the fuel just leaks out of it.
What?
Because because it goes so fast when it's flying that the metal expands. And if they didn't leave it loose, then the fuel tanks would blow up when it was flying. So it actually just leaks when it's on the ground. So
imagine how many times they got that wrong first.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow.
Sorry, Jerry.
What the problem is, Jerry.
God.
So anyway, we do a lot of weird shit, and
to sum it up,
a lot of it got done in Area 51, and that's why a lot of people think that, you know, that's where there are
space
UFOs
aliens
and everything like that, because it sort of folds in on itself, because the government can say, well, we're testing secret shit there, so that's why we won't let you in, and there's no aliens, and then the alien people can be like, oh yeah, sure, you got the secret shit you're testing from the aliens, fuckers. And so I don't know who's going to win that one.
Well, Area 51 is not inside the Triangle. It is in Nevada, as we know. The Nevada Triangle obviously is in Nevada. It's also in a little bit of California. But Area 51 is on the fringes of the Triangle. A lot of Triangle experts, a lot of Triangle buffs and enthusiasts believe that Area 51.
What's a Triangle expert? Triangle, not triangle, square.
Well, I'm gonna throw this to Jen after, because I think she mentioned she knows a lot about triangles.
Okay.
That's true.
But let's get away from Area 51, because I think that's another show, right?
Oh yeah, that, for sure. Yeah.
Area 51's very interesting. So a little tidbit there to everybody.
Yes,
wait for
yes.
an Area 51 show coming up.
Yeah, because all the stuff I just said was not the whole story of Area 51, so
right,
it would be a longer episode than that. I would probably say that same stuff 6 or 7 more times in different ways.
Be like the John Holmes of episodes. Much
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Last a long time, get addicted to coke, and insist I have cancer.
The only show personally endorsed by the king himself.
So I got a question before we go into any more crazy disappearing things. Why is it that it's just because they were planes? Like, did I don't know, people crash their chuck wagons and shit? Or like,
did other Indians things disappear? Like in the
shit,
Bermuda
we
Triangle.
We built the whole town there and now it's gone.
Like in the Bermuda Triangle, ships and planes, right? So you're saying,
yeah,
since this is over land, do wagons and cars disappear? Yeah, land ships.
Yeah.
Land
ships of the land.
What about hikers? Do hikers disappear, or is it just planes?
Well, we've talked about that, but
we have.
That's usually in the national parks, and I don't think that's a national park area.
Yeah.
I shot 5 arrows at that cactus, and none of them landed.
But you know what?
Well,
thinking
that's
about
a
it,
different problem.
Thinking about it, it wouldn't have to be a national park, because the only reason that more people go missing in the national parks is because they're national parks and they attract people to them. So
right,
it could be that this remote, deserted area in Nevada has the same kind of thing that
right, and because people are like
Jared Atadero, you know,
and people
but nobody
are also
goes there,
right? And people are also like tracked in national parks, like generally,
yes,
more likely to
you're
be
tracked
noticed
everywhere you fucking go.
Well,
right.
Okay.
Tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't know why anyone would get lost in the desert, because everything I've ever seen on cartoons, there's just one cow skull and one cactus that you keep running by when you're in the desert.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
So you just got to count them.
Yeah.
I think there's like 50 to a mile.
Also, couldn't anyone just fly a plane over and see nothing at all but sand except a guy? Wouldn't they just be able to find you right away?
No, you can't. Because Kenny specifically said that, much like my college dorm room, it was a moonscape of sparsely populated, rugged wilderness.
Oh, just like your dorm room.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Sparsely populated.
No.
So you're not going to find anybody if you're just flying over. For fuck's sake, I can't find people I'm looking for when they're at the food court.
Oh, God. All right.
Okay. Well, nothing has been documented as far as whether or not, like you said, more people or wagons vanished from that area during the cowboy days. And Native American folklore doesn't really record anything that's more or less extraordinary than all the other things that they do talk about in their folklore, like giant bears and birds and pterodactyls. Bigfoot. Fact
Swamp
is, no one is quite sure why so many planes have gone down there. Some of them have been quite large planes rather than light aircraft, and with experienced crews under ideal conditions. And we estimated earlier that about 2,000 aircraft have vanished, but no one knows how many planes have actually gone down there. The area has managed to create an air of mystique around itself that just continues to grow. Many still insist there are forces beyond our understanding at work here, pulling in planes to their doom. Talk of the Nevada Triangle is often punctuated with mentions of Area 51, aliens, or top-secret tests of experimental aircraft, as well as the possibility of some form of magnetic anomaly or a vortex.
Ooh.
I like Ooh. Vortexes.
But there's a big right? hole in all your theories, you, okay. you quacks.
Yes.
Because in the Bermuda Triangle, you landed in the water, and then presumably you would sink. Now, I'm saying that you wouldn't be able to find a person just laying in the desert, you know, from way up in the air. But a whole plane? Bull flop. You would totally see it sitting there next to the cow skull.
Next to the one and only cow skull.
And the cactus.
Plus well, they have, you know, boxes and radios and whatnot.
You mean like the little black box or whatever?
Yeah, all
the
sorts
of shit. The
one
that nobody can ever seem to find.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but doesn't that just add to the mysterious quality of the region? Many of the crashed planes have just never been found. This is most likely due to the inaccessibility of the remote area, but sometimes things are stranger.
Or strangeful.
Or yeah. strangeful.
Strangefuler.
Yeah, exactly. One Army fighter pilot, Lieutenant Leonard C. Lydon, said he parachuted from his plane when his squadron got hopelessly lost in the mountains here. He claimed to have clearly seen the P-40 fighter go down about a mile from his position near the Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks, and he was sure that he knew where it had crashed. However, when a search team returned to the area, he specified no sign of any wreckage or the plane could be found. In fact, it's never been found to this day.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
Okay.
Kenny, you know a lot about planes and shit, right?
Yeah.
The fuck do you lose a plane? Why would your plane be in the mountains? Was he driving it on a road? Like, I know mountains are high, but the plane should be much higher than the mountain.
Well, yeah.
So why were they lost flying around the mountains?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have been doing, you know, low level. I mean, the mountains in that area, I don't know, let's say they're, 10,000, 15,000 feet. Excuse me. That's still pretty tall for, or pretty high, I should say, for an aircraft to be up. Granted, it's not the top of the ceiling, but they could be doing, maneuvers flying in and around through canyons in the mountains, trying to get an idea of updrafts and downdrafts and the aerodynamics that are based or created by the wind patterns in the mountains. All kinds of different reasons you'd want to be there. But one thing that I agree with you on is that when you have those landmarks and a mountain is going to be on navigational charts, it's got to be pretty difficult to actually get lost flying around the mountains.
Yeah. I have a theory now that I'm going to wait until the end, but I'm also going to say, hey, if you're a pilot, the only two things you could crash your plane into that aren't the ground, are, like if you're up in the sky, are another plane or a mountain. So avoid them.
Good tip.
This tip was brought to you by...
Just saying. I may have saved countless lives.
Einstein Aviation.
That's
saving
right.
countless
That's
lives
right.
since 2018.
Well, another military plane went missing on May 9th, 1957, when Air Force Lieutenant David Steves was piloting a T-33 training jet. Taking off from Hamilton Air Force Base near San Francisco on a flight to Arizona, the plane disappeared. After a thorough search without success, the Air Force declared the 23-year-old pilot officially dead. However, 54 days later, the pilot reappeared.
54 days?
54 days.
That's a lot of days.
He didn't just land in Vegas?
Well, he was stick thin and dressed in tattered and filthy clothing, so he yes. could have landed in Vegas.
He could have been in Vegas the whole time.
He actually made his way to a camp in the backcountry of Kings Canyon National Park, east of Fresno, California.
Ooh.
And that... Plus, Jen's story confirms for me that these are national parks. Ha!
Mm-hmm.
So, Lieutenant Steves described that when something in the plane exploded, he briefly blacked out, but came to in time to eject from the plane, badly injuring both ankles, like weak ankles at Einstein over there. Dragging his parachute to help him keep warm, he crawled over 20 miles in the freezing temperatures at 12,000 feet for 15 days without food or shelter.
Yikes.
12,000 feet elevation.
Yeah.
Chilly.
Finally, he came upon an abandoned National Park Service cabin where he found a few cans of food as well as a fishing pole. And if you give a man a fish, you'll feed him for a day. But if you give a man a fishing pole...
He eats for life.
He eats for life.
He eats that fishing pole.
He eats that fishing pole. He survived by fishing and actually killed a deer with his pistol. After regaining some of his... I'm sorry, that just gave me the worst visual in the whole world. Oh, no. After regaining some of his strength, he tried to make it to civilization, during which time he nearly drowned in a river before stumbling upon a pack train guide who took him by mule back to civilization.
Mule train.
Though clearly a brave dude, there were some who questioned his story because his disappearance occurred in the midst of the Cold War and no remains of his plane could be found. It wasn't actually until 1977 that Boy Scouts found the canopy of his jet, but the plane's wreckage has never been found.
They found a canopy?
A canopy!
Oh. Okay.
Oh, it's hot.
Oh, Jesus. It's not hot 40 years later or whatever.
Like, if it was, it was in the desert.
Jen's gonna quit.
I am gonna quit. I'm, like, constantly ready to quit with you fucking weirdos. Okay. Here's my question, though. What happened to our friend Steve Fawcett? Did they ever find him or his plane? Or a can of pee? I don't know.
Well, they did find a can of pee. We saw that, or just heard about that. Christy told us about the can that they found.
Yeah, keep up.
It was not a can of pee.
It was a can of pee.
Oh, my God.
I think probably chock full of nuts.
Oh, why?
I'm sorry.
So, Jen, you asked what, about Steve Fawcett?
Poor Steve Fawcett, yes.
Yeah, so we kicked off the show talking about Steve. Poor old Steve. As we know, Steve, billionaire adventurer.
Yeah, poor
aviator.
Guy.
First person.
Inventor of the faucet.
Right?
Oh, my God.
That's how he made his money.
That's right.
It's not even spelled.
Before
okay.
that, people were using buckets and ladles like assholes.
I've got pumps. A better idea.
But somebody
thanks
misspelled
to Johnny
his...
Pump.
That's right.
Somebody misspelled his name on the patent application.
Yep.
So, billionaire adventurer, aviator, faucet innovator.
Apparently.
The first person to not only fly around the world in a balloon, and let's face it, flying solo around the world in a balloon doesn't actually sound that hard.
Yeah, do you fly a balloon or do you just sit in the balloon?
Yeah, you just sit there and drift around, right?
But don't you have to direct it somehow?
That's some way
I still
to
don't
steer
think you
it.
Can.
Ah, with wishes?
You just go up and down.
Wishes. Yes, with wishes.
I no, sure it's hope got like ropes and stuff, I think.
I hope this water bottle has a genie
in it. What's that going to do?
They're tied to the balloon.
No, but how's that going to turn it?
No, wait, I actually don't know. I feel like somebody has to... We need to research it for the post. Do you, like, ride air currents so you have to, like, go up and down in the atmosphere or some shit?
Yes.
Well, I know you have...
Science!
You have weights and sandbags and stuff to like...
Yeah, but that's vertical.
But if you throw the sandbags out, then you're done. You can't get them back.
There is some science. apparently, it is hard because it took him 5 tries to make it around the world.
Well, there you go.
In fact, when I was doing some research around this, the highest speed that he attained during his circumnavigation was 186 miles per hour over the Indian Ocean in a balloon.
Fuck that.
Bananas. Fast. That would be terrifying.
Yeah, so terrifying.
Wow, you would blow right out of the basket. You wouldn't be able to...
No, because I would have every finger and every toe laced in the weave of the basket.
Because Even if it was a balloon that's supposed to go around the world at like 180 miles an hour, I assume it's still just a wicker basket and you have like a little teapot that you drink out of.
No, he's one of those guys that sits in the lawn chair with a BB gun.
Yeah.
That sounds
well,
right.
I've got all my digits like crammed into the weave of this basket. I'm holding on with my teeth. Like,
right.
No.
For this particular flight and the attempts before and after, because there have been people that have attempted to break Fawcett's record, there is a pressurized capsule because you have to go up almost into the stratosphere and, like you said, Jen,
wow,
ride the jet stream and the, you know, whatever stream.
Really?
Craziness.
Yep. That's how you actually make your way around, because otherwise it's just really the only thing you can control is the up and down, like you guys said.
Yeah.
So
weird.
Yeah. So it's a pressurized capsule. That capsule from the successful attempt, the fifth try, is actually hanging in the Smithsonian in the Museum of Air and Space. As we
nice.
Speak.
Yeah, if you want to believe it, but go ahead.
Whoa! What?
Wow.
Who kicked
what
your
happened?
Puppy?
I know.
The Smithsonian is also known in some circles as America's Garage of Lies. So,
well, they're obviously just hiding giant bones. We already know that.
We do.
There's a lot
we
of
do.
Shit going on there.
Okay.
So Fawcett made it, apparently, and he was, by all accounts, really good at everything that he tried. He set, I think I said at the beginning of the show that he set over 100 records. He actually set 116 records, to be precise, in five
Jeez.
Different sports, starting all the way back in the 80s through the 90s, early 2000s. Many of those records still stand. 23 official records in speed sailing. I don't know exactly what speed sailing entails, but I think it just means going from point A to point B in a sailboat as fast as you possibly can go. I don't know. Oh, I know that's what it is, but I don't know exactly what you
like,
have to
what
do.
What specifics
are.
Yeah.
What do you have your medal in? Speed running?
We talked about
speed
the balloon.
Speed driving.
Speed
God
eating.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
Speed dating. Christy.
That's me. I have the record in that.
Yes.
Have you actually tried that?
No, I fucking would never, ever. I can't think of anything worse than sitting
either.
Down with a complete stranger that I don't even know if there's anything interesting about them and trying to talk to them for like 3 minutes. I'd rather fucking kill myself.
Talking?
No,
the only problem
awful.
You'd have is you'd have to buy another fucking memory card for your phone because you'd have to take 50 selfies at each table within 3 minutes.
I don't take selfies when I'm with the person. That's dumb. You don't know how
maybe
selfies
that's,
work.
Maybe that's your bad strategy.
Oh, my God. All right.
So we know about the balloon. He also sailed around the world in 59 days and 9 hours. That was the record.
Wow.
Solo.
Well, that seems like speed sailing.
Yeah.
That's way quicker than Jules Verne.
He made, and Jules Verne did it in a balloon, right?
Yes.
With a wicker basket. So he
yeah,
also,
but he was classy.
He was, and he had an assistant.
And mustache wax.
Passepartout. He also made the first solo nonstop, unrefueled flight around the world. And that
Jeez.
Took him 67 hours. 67 hours to fly around the world
what?
Without stopping. 67 hours.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
Where do you poop?
It's a great question. Because I have a hard
right.
time going a couple hours.
Right?
Right.
Oh my God.
In fact,
you have a hard time going a couple hours. What's
yeah.
wrong
yeah.
with you?
He goes a lot.
I do.
Oh my God.
It's a blessing or a curse. I haven't decided yet.
The best thing about this podcast is that you really, really get to know the cast.
Oh I have a couple of friends who insist on discussing how often they poop all the time, and they're so just with me, and they're so distressed that I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. Last time I had to poop, I don't know. I don't keep track of it. They're like, what do you mean? Why don't you know? And I'm like, cause I don't care. I don't understand the question. Why is it so important?
I think that that's the biggest drawback to my fitness pal. There's no way to record those things.
Oh God! You should tell them. You should write them.
I even have the premium membership, and nope.
No poop recording, huh?
Nope.
Maybe they had astronaut diapers.
But he still has to sit in it for 67 hours.
No, he doesn't. Does. He was in a fucking plane. There was probably just a hole in it, and some poor bastard in Mongolia is like, "What's that noise?" And then.
Well, it'd be frozen.
It would be. Yeah.
He'd kill a man.
Frozen diaper bombs.
He's wanted for murder. So now, we know that on September 3rd, 2007, because obviously, Kenny, what you're trying to get across is that this fellow was fairly competent.
By any estimation, he was extremely competent, yes.
Like, at these sorts of things, he might have been a fucking complete cement head at everything else, like cutting a bagel while he's holding it in his hand so he always cuts himself and shit.
Or setting the time on his VCR, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All those terrible things. Mm-hmm. I'll just separate these hamburger patties with this knife. Oh, that's blood. So... so on September...
No, wait. He gets himself every time he uses the cheese grater.
Yep. Oh,
every time!
There's another fingernail in your cheese, Martha.
Stay out of the kitchen, faucet. But there's a faucet right in it. So we already know, on September 3rd, 2007, Mr. Smarty Pants decided to go for a nice, real quick flight all by himself within the Nevada Triangle. I don't know why that would be the thing that you decide to do. Because it's not like an errand. I guess flying a plane must be fun all by itself. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess it's like, I'm going for a drive, you know?
Yeah, but usually when you go for a drive, you're like, oh, I could stop somewhere for lunch. But what are you going to say? Oh, I might fly next to a duck for a while. That would be fun. Like, it's not the same.
No one
questioned him because he was a world famous pilot. And since it was the fucking desert, the conditions were near perfect, which I assume they always are. But he never returned. And one of the biggest search parties ever assembled... because it was a rich white guy, so of course they needed to find him.
Right. I'm pretty sure that I participated in that search party.
Remember Hands Across America?
Yeah, that's what it was.
They searched the desert for months, but they couldn't find any trace of him or his plane. They even hired psychics, hoping they would finally be able to shed some light on what happened to him. But in the end, psychics rooked them out of their money and... Yep. He didn't find anything. It was as if he had just vanished into thin air.
And that's why you always leave a note.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Also, now, it's weird that they can't find the plane in the desert.
Yeah. It is.
That's
it's not,
bizarre.
It's never weird to me just a person disappearing somehow. I mean, there's a gajillion people. Who
it's
cares?
Always going to be something like mechanically big. Yeah.
But like an enormous plane? It's a little strange.
Was the plane... sand colored.
did it have a desert landscape painted on it?
Was it made of clear plastic?
Was it the invisible plane that the president thinks is real?
Or that Wonder Woman took back.
No, or but maybe... you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, right.
When he had the press conference with the what's the fucking
Kim Jong-il?
No. Who's the woman who like runs the
Angela Merkel?
No. Oh,
Betsy DeVos?
No, stop. The stupid president that I can't believe we elected had some press conference where he was talking about an airline manufacturer. And he was talking about how they make a plane that's not detectable by radar. But he was talking about it as if he really believes it's invisible. Like the invisible jet in Wonder Woman. Like, on it, like literally, with you can't see it with your eyeballs. And the woman who's like the CEO or whatever was standing behind him, and she made the best face when he said this. Like I just fucking want to die right now. I can't believe that he's saying this. Anyway.
That's
carry on. Funny. But apparently the president thinks that actual invisible jets exist.
And that's the news.
Okay, carry on.
So, there are some people... or there were some people that believed that Fawcett, being the eccentric billionaire that he was, just decided to disappear for a little while. You know, to get away from it all. Or that he faked his own death, a la Jim Morrison, who I still believe faked his own death.
Or Aleister Crowley.
Yep, or yeah. Aleister Crowley. But many people disagreed with those theories. Many people. Especially the people that knew him. So on September 29th, 2008, over a year later, a hiker found some of Fawcett's belongings within the Nevada Triangle. They found his pilot's ID card. They found over $1,000 in cash in a money clip. And they also found a glider registration card with his name on it.
Huh.
So on October 1st, not just a couple of days later, they got a new search party together, which, Jen, I think you were probably part of this one too.
Of course.
And this search party did ultimately find Fawcett's plane.
And
they found two human leg bones close by.
Well, obviously.
Ew.
And after a little DNA analysis, they concluded that these bones did in fact belong to Mr. Fawcett. So unless he cut off his own legs, most likely he did not fake his own death.
Yeah.
The rest of him was likely scavenged by wild dogs or a skunk ape.
Skunk ape.
Bullshit.
Bigfoot.
What? No. Fuck. No. What happened was he was hurt and Bigfoot surgeons amputated his legs to save his life and then took them to their underground city.
Obviously.
So pull them out of
the wreck. Where all the fucking planes went, which is why you can't find them.
They're in the underground city. Is that what Area 51 is, fam?
It's
the entrance
more
to
area.
The kingdom?
It's near it.
It's near it.
But it's not right there.
All right. That's interesting.
So now, case closed. No.
Well,
for reals, though,
okay.
Since they found the bones and they found his shit and everything like that, they actually did say it was case closed. But since it's, you know, an air crash, the National Transportation Safety Board stepped in to investigate, because they always do with civilian air crashes. And after they inspected the plane piece by piece, which they do, they didn't find any signs of equipment failure. So what they concluded was that he must have been caught in a 400-mile-an-hour downdraft.
Which, what?
Is that a real thing?
Sounds fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
These downdrafts are known to happen in mountainous regions, and Fawcett's light aircraft wouldn't have been able to handle that much force, or even stay in the air for that matter. Well, what the fuck would? And
holy mackerel.
Why does anybody fly if
I know
exist?
Like, that's the equivalent to, like, you're driving down the road and then sometimes there's just a 150 mile per hour
gust
wall
river.
That crashes into you. I don't know. Yes. That's terrible.
Well, also keep in mind he was flying in a small plane. So
right.
That small plane probably couldn't fly much more than 250 miles per hour anyway. So
right.
If there's a 450 mile per hour wind gust,
yeah,
the speed of his engine wouldn't be able to keep up with that. So that would either drive him into the ground or drive him backwards, which would cause him to lose airspeed, which would drive
make
him
fall
into
out
the
of the sky. Right.
So if we are traveling in a commercial jet, that would be a challenge for that commercial jet. That commercial jet still might not be able to overcome, but it would
stand
a much greater
chance. Right.
Than
yeah.
a small personal aircraft. And these particular downdrafts don't usually occur at 30,000+ feet where commercial aircraft travel.
Right.
So that's another reason that commercial aircraft travel at such a high altitude.
Right.
So really, they're the result of some little bastard going, how do I kill a bunch of smug millionaires in airplanes?
What?
And the genie went, I know!
Why is it genie enforced?
That's how you get your way.
You know what we should do?
Let's slap them out of the sky.
And
that's what it sounds like.
Right?
So, like
that
we talked about.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so the plane probably couldn't handle that much force or stay in the air. That very well could be the case, and that could also explain many of these other airplane crashes that happened within the Nevada Triangle. But remember,
yeah.
Christy, I think it was you that talked about the T-33 fighter. Yep. That's a jet aircraft. Those things can go almost 1,000 miles an hour.
Right.
Yeah, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, it doesn't explain why.
All the other crashes.
Yeah, all the other crashes. There has never been any distress signal, any distress call.
Hmm.
Steve Fawcett, as we know, super, super experienced guy, has...
Oh, stop sucking his dick.
Flown around the world.
Wow.
I bring it up because, you know, he should know what to do. If he gets in trouble, he would
right,
know
what
to
like
do.
It's not like he was out on his second flight. That's the point.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's the same way, like, I feel like this could be the same... If it's a phenomenon, it could be the same phenomenon that takes all of these really, really experienced outdoorsmen and hikers and hunters and people that disappear in the woods that have no business disappearing.
Right.
Because they've been there, you know, their whole lives, or, you know, it's a place that they know intimately well, and, or they, you know, they've got all the right equipment and stuff, and they still disappear without a trace. So it's really
Are
interesting.
Are you saying the wind blew them into the ground?
She's saying,
no, but
who knows what caused other plane disappearances, and so maybe there's just a strange phenomenon. By the way, speaking of phenomenon, I'm not sure if you can hear, but there are currently fireworks going off in my neighborhood.
Those
no, but that sounds
either that
festive.
Or a war has started. So
yeah, it's the
you
revolution.
Heard it here, you it heard is. It here first, folks. It's August 29th. I don't know what's happening. Apparently, it's a holiday in Boston. I don't know.
Yay?
No, it started because a guy named Sully went, I don't give a fuck if you got a lawn chair there. I'm parking here.
That sounds right. That fucking sounds exactly right. And you know what? Yeah. I'm on Sully's side because I don't believe in space savers. God damn it.
You're not a fucking movie star.
Yeah.
You ain't fucking nothing. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the solution to this, because I actually drew pictures of UFOs and shit on my script while we
oh,
were doing
did you
it.
Solve it by doing your drawings?
Yes, because yes, I was. What do they call it? Like is it remote drawing, or like when you just
oh yes,
start
yes.
scribbling some, yeah.
Remote viewing, yeah.
So here's my problem with this. Now, I understand this Fawcett guy was a good pilot and everything like that. He probably had some you know, thing that would happen one in a million, blah, and everything like that. The majority of the planes that just never were never found or anything like that, those are just people stealing airplanes and getting away with it. So scratch all those off now. That's why it never happened with chuck wagons and stuff, because if you stole a chuck wagon, where were you going to bring it? There were only like 10 people, so everybody would know whose it was. Now, the reason that I can't believe that it's like in the Bermuda Triangle, didn't we talk about the fact that it might be this gas stuff that makes the water super bubbly, which is why the boats sink and that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
So obviously there can't be that kind of thing in the desert. But the other thing is, every time somebody says there's a UFO, the government is always saying, oh, no, it was a weather balloon. So obviously the government must have like 50,000 weather balloons in the fucking sky at any given time. So if it was really that super dangerous to fly over the Nevada Triangle, they would already know and tell people not to.
Right. Unless they want them to do it.
Unless they don't have a good explanation for why, because they don't want to admit to the real reason.
Well, another thing
X-Files.
That we didn't talk about is that some members of the search party did say that they explored that area where Fawcett's plane was found very carefully in the original search.
Yeah, and it wasn't there,
oh,
was it?
Oh, really?
Oh, there we go.
All right.
Just like that kid's fucking sneakers.
Yep.
That's right.
Well, so, that is right.
Some people
said... The Bigfoots put it back.
When being interviewed, they said, it's as if the plane just magically appeared there.
Huh. Hmm.
This sounds is some familiar.
Lost shit it's, right here.
It's as if legless Steve Fawcett said, I want to live with you in Bigfoot City, but we have to make people stop looking for me. So the wise Bigfoot said, all right, well, we'll just take some of your shit and put it up there and they'll find it and everyone will leave.
Wow.
Case closed.
I love how just Acadia always has an explanation for how it's Bigfoot's.
Yes.
It's unassailable right now. There's nothing you can say to refute my theory.
I mean, no.
Kenny, did the guy that you talked to on the plane, the guy that put this idea in your head,
the Navy guy,
did he look like the kind of person that would put up a bunch of fucking phony weather balloons and trick people into crashing into the ground?
He looked like Scully's brother on the X-Files.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, there you go. Hot, that means you definitely shouldn't trust him.
Super shady.
Yep.
He's an alien
that's good
clone.
Fucking story.
And he seemed a little young to be retired Navy.
Oh. Mm. Huh. Mm. Really?
He wasn't a grizzled old salt?
No, he wasn't. He was probably about my age. Which you
oh,
could
you could
be
retired at your age.
I could be. Well, I could be retired military if I started when I was 18. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not
you
common.
Could be retired from the mall as well.
I could be.
In fact, he is retired from the mall legally.
I hung it up. They shut down the Panda Garden, and I don't even feel like going anymore.
I was asked never to return to the mall.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant.
Too much leering.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. They were like, "Sir, we don't want any more talk of triangles at the mall. Mm-hmm. We'd like to ask you to leave."
Sir, the sales
stop
girls are complaining.
Yeah.
That was not a mannequin.
Stop ordering things from Hot Dog on a Stick.
Oh, goddamn it.
All right.
Well, this
Kenny,
was cool.
This is a neat fucking story.
Yeah, it is.
And I want to know, somebody needs to track down the fact why squares aren't scary.
Oh,
yeah.
Triangles. Yeah, what's that about? Interesting.
Hmm.
Except for, like, Utah.
Well, the whole state of Utah.
Weird.
I mean, how many more people do you think died in Utah than died in this triangle?
A million more.
I think we should just take places where a lot of people die and then draw some type of shape around them.
Okay.
All right, good. We'll do it around
Let's
Earth.
Let's do that.
Mormons. Billions of people.
Do it around Earth. You'll see here inside this circle. Billions of people have died.
Could the Earth's atmosphere be killing us because every living creature inside it has eventually died?
Wow. Wow.
Are you next?
Bold thinking. Bold thinking.
Clickbait.
Can time
central.
Kill? Find out after this.
Oh my God.
After a word from our sponsor.
Oh my God. Wow.
Oh, well, Kenny, this was a good one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Good job.
I enjoyed it too. I'm glad that I could share it with everybody. It wasn't what I was planning on doing tonight, but like I said, I ran into this dude on the plane and
the rest
we just heard about.
Well, right. There you go.
Maybe if you dig a little deeper, you can dig up some Nazi bones or something and tie it all together for yourself.
Maybe.
There you go. Could be.
I'm sure there's some. There's probably Nazi bones everywhere. There were tons of those fuckers. The Bigfoots would not have helped them either.
No. The Bigfoots were like, we're not helping you. Get out.
No, that's right.
We don't agree with your cultural choices.
Exactly.
They had their own Alpine Bigfoots, but... they got smart in like 1943 and they switched sides.
Yeah.
Booked it. Yeah, that sounds right.
That's
they
funny.
Defected.
Like the Italians.
Exactly.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited that it's almost not so fucking hot that
parts of
me are stuck to other parts of me.
Honest to God.
Kenny and I have like
which parts?
3 more months of that.
No. We don't want to hear about the parts.
No.
No.
We do. It's still 82 outside here.
Oh. Yeah, it is. Let's see.
It's 85 here.
What's the temperature?
Well, this is riveting radio.
Hey, people need to know.
Okay. Hey, everybody, go into your refrigerator and get some cold cuts.
Yeah.
And
okay,
take
idea.
One cold cut off the stack, and the way that feels... is how parts of me feel right now.
Oh, God damn it. Ew.
That
All right, good night.
So gross.
Show's over. Good night.
If you enjoyed this episode of Strangeful Things, you can support the show by visiting patreon.com/strangeful. That's STRANGEFUL. You can also follow us at facebook.com/strangeful or at StrangefulPod on Twitter. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. And if you haven't, please leave us a review on iTunes. It absolutely helps, and we appreciate each and every review. Thanks.